I've been around a lot longer.
Yeah, that's true. You do have a cockroach effect.
And get rid of them.
Donovan McNabb is with us today. TJ Fair joins us.
We are joined to open the show by Josh Black.
Just overall competition, right? That's exactly what we needed for this team.
1-10 is not something you really want to use as fuel.
If Steve got in a fight, I'd come to his defense because he's my bro.
If you were on the ropes, I would have stepped in. You didn't need my help.
Hands off. Tucker feels his way in around his own man, and he scores untouched. It's a touchdown for Sean Tucker.
This is Orange Nation with Stephen Fonte and Paulie Sebelia.
Good afternoon, everyone. Glad to have you with us. Alongside Paulie Sebelia, I'm Stephen Fonte. As we welcome you into a Thursday edition of Orange Nation, we're getting closer to the weekend, getting closer to this big Cuse-Clemson game tomorrow night inside the Dome. And with that in mind, we'll have Andrew Goodrich on from Syracuse University, Deputy Athletics Director, to talk about the game, talk about the Floyd Little ceremony that they have planned for tomorrow. And, Paulie, we were talking before the show. I know you want to discuss some things about Sean Tucker with Andrew Goodrich.
Yeah, I want to bring up, we need to get him we got to get him national attention, and I want to know what the fan base can do and what the university can do to make him a name brand in the country, let alone this town.
Coming up at 12:30, we've got to make our official pick on the game. We've got Dan from Wildcat Sports Pub set to join us at 12:30, so we'll have to be locked in on our pick a half hour from now.
I've been thinking about something a lot over the past 24 hours, and I watch how Syracuse has played offense, and dear to the heavens above, I'm praying that if Garrett Schrader's the guy Syracuse wants to be their quarterback for the future, this is going to be, he's got to survive this game. It's still Clemson. If he runs the ball 32 times, he's putting his life and his playing ability in danger.
Yeah.
And I'm the closer we're getting to the Clemson game, I'm becoming more concerned about it. Like, if you're ever going to see Tommy DeVito, it's going to be because of this game.
Could be
him running the ball.
Could be. It's funny you should say that. Yesterday at News Channel 9, we ran some sound from Dabo Swinney, who had his weekly press conference, and he was talking about slowing down Tucker and Schrader. And so I was curious about Clemson's defense. I was like, you know, their defense is pretty good. I'm curious where they rank in scoring defense. Any idea?
Fifth?
Second.
Oh, that's pretty good.
They're behind Georgia.
Yeah.
Georgia is killing everybody in that category. Clemson's second. They're giving up 12 points a game.
They gave up 10 points to Georgia.
Right. And it was a pick six. So the defense didn't even give up the touchdown.
Right. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just the Syracuse has to, you know, if they win this game, it's great. You just got to survive it because it's still Clemson. You could go out there. Like I said this yesterday, the fan base can't take this the wrong way if Clemson decides this is the week they're going to throttle somebody,
right?
And it's Syracuse.
You know? And, you know, you hear Dabo talk about we got healthier on our bye week, not good news for Syracuse. The fact that they had an extra week off, not good news for Syracuse. Yeah. They're coming here in a bad mood. They've played a lot of close games with Syracuse. I know last year wasn't necessarily close, but, you know, what is it, 4 of the last 7 games between Syracuse and Clemson have been decided by 10 points or less. So even though Clemson is way ahead of Syracuse, you know,
they know not
Syracuse
to sleep
has
on them.
Their attention, right? Yeah. And so that's not great news for Syracuse. So I don't know. I think this is a tall order tomorrow as well. And I know they're about a 2-touchdown underdog. You used the phrase it could go sideways in a hurry. You're right. It could go sideways in a hurry.
And if it doesn't, enjoy it, right? And take it and enjoy it, because this is a year Clemson's beatable. But they're still Clemson.
That's right.
I don't know if that makes any sense. You know, be happy if they can hang in there or win it, but don't be surprised if they get their doors blown in.
Yeah.
And don't take it like this was a lot, like they got their doors blown in by Liberty. It's not the same.
Right. And I know Clemson's got 2 losses. One of them's to the best team in the country, and the other one was in overtime. And you know, those things are going to happen. They're not the dominant team that they have been, but to your point, I think they're probably still the best team in this conference. I know we look at Wake, and listen, Wake hasn't lost yet. They obviously deserve that distinction of being the best team right now. I still think Clemson ultimately is the best team in this conference,
and we're going to see him here tomorrow night. So I mentioned Andrew Goodrich coming up at 12:15. We've got Dan from the Wildcat Sports Pub at 12:30. And then Tyler Rocky joins us from the Locked on Syracuse podcast, comes up at 1:30. Plus, we'll mix in your phone calls at 315-437-7644. You had a chance to, as you do every week, sit in on the Dino Babers show last night, a little bit earlier this week because of the Friday game. So you guys did it on a Wednesday night. Some interesting things came up last night.
Yeah, you know what I find interesting is I've been at all of the coaches' shows for the past, 22 years. This is the first coach that I don't know if he's more approachable or seems nicer than the other guys, but this is the first coach that people actually call and ask him about specific plays and why he did it. And he gives great answers and he explains it to you. I'm not talking out of school. Towards the end of the Greg Robinson era, he would book guests for his own show.
Oh, really?
So he would avoid this situation. Yeah, and Dino doesn't do that. He faces it head on. And he got calls last night. You and I discussed on Monday that it was four questionable plays, and he got asked about all of them and answered them. And you may not like the answers he gave, but he gave his answers on why he did them.
All right. So can we start with the 3rd and 23? Because you and I were texting last night. I still have a problem with this whole sequence, but
so what he said was he had faith in his defense. He would rather hold them to 0 points,
right,
than give them three,
right.
And his intention on 3rd and 23 was to force an incomplete pass,
sure,
or a tackle for loss, or if they ran a draw or whatever. And he got, I believe it was Steven or Syracuse called and asked about what happened on defense on the 3rd and 23, that it seemed like nobody was in place to stop them from getting to the sticks on the first down.
The linebackers are supposed to be at the chains, and we had a linebacker. I can tell you the number. I don't want to say his name because I don't like to put my guys out there. But we had a linebacker right in front of the play, and the ball actually, I want to say he took his drop 2 yards too deep or too deep. And it happened right in front of him, and he really should have been about 2-3 yards shallower, and he would have had an opportunity to make a play on it. But the one thing is that, with the 3-man rush and the spy, he had a little bit more time than what we thought he was going to have. But it does, to have the opportunity to make that play with all those defensive guys looking to see where the ball is going to go, is a little unique. It normally shouldn't happen, but that night and that instance and that moment, it did, and it led to a very interesting finish.
So I appreciate him addressing it, right?
Yeah.
And I understand his line of thinking. You want the incompletion, then you hold him to zero. I guess I still think it's flawed strategy to only rush three and then the spy and give him extra time to throw. We had Julian Wiggum on the TV version of Orange Nation on Monday, and we asked him about that play, and he said, listen, as defensive players, you are taught to play the sticks, right? The linebackers are taught to go to the sticks, and Dino talked about how, one of the linebackers went 2 yards too deep. But my point is if you're playing the sticks and you just want to keep the guys in front of you, but you're basically allowing them to complete a pass, the field goal would have ended up being shorter than
but
a
51-yarder. But Steve, I think you're thinking of it as they're allowing the pass to be caught. That you're supposed to be eyeing the ball so the ball doesn't get to the
receiver. I get it. I get it.
The receiver.
I get it.
But
again, if that's the only place you can throw as a quarterback is to the open guy who's in front of the sticks, and you as a defense are keeping him from getting to the sticks, to me it seems like flawed strategy to give him extra time to find the open guy.
The way I look at it is, my theory on this would be, if all it takes is a guy going 2 yards too far down the field for this to go wrong, kick the field goal.
Kick the field goal.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But he explained why he did it and what went wrong.
Yeah.
His guy out there.
And I get it. And that's what we said on Monday, that he had some difficult decisions to make, and whether they were the right decision or wrong decision, we could debate those, and it's possible that they were the right decision, but all four of them really backfired in some way, shape, or form. And, that's some of that's bad luck. Some of it is you create your own bad luck, but, right, I mean, he had four difficult decisions, and in one way, shape, or form,
yeah,
they all went south.
If they knocked that ball down, nobody's talking about it.
Right.
Right. So It's why.
And if they get the 2-point conversion, if they get the 2-point conversion at the end of the third quarter, nobody's talking.
You
want
to hear why things went wrong on the 2-point conversion? We have that answer.
Yeah, go
for it. This is a long one.
We were going for one. We were going for one to tie the game. And I literally, and the players were out there playing like we're going to go for one. When Sean Tucker caught that ball, and I just saw the fans and everybody just go absolutely electric. When I saw Sean Tucker run through that safety, and I'm like, if he is going to play like that, let's end this thing right now. Everybody's going for one. That's when I switched and said, you know what? I want to take this thing to two. Now, in doing that, I had a lot of stuff to do really quickly. And the first thing is I have to alert my staff. I had to stop the guys who were coming off from the middle of the field. I had other guys circling and celebrating in the end zone. I had to give them a stop sign. And then I had to rally the troops and get the play called and get it back out there. And I missed it by about 2 seconds. But that's 11 guys, okay, not going, 11 guys going for one that I'm switching and going for two in the heat of the moment. I think that if it had been something normal, I'd like to bet that I'd have got it done. But based off of Sean Tucker doing something abnormal that we hadn't seen before, it was really hard to do. The kids were excited. We had our redshirt freshman center out there. We had our true freshman guard out there. We had our quarterback. We had to get our correct receivers out there. And we did all that, but we missed the clock by about 2 seconds.
I get that. I mean, you know, it's unfortunate, but I get it. I get what he's saying there.
Here's the thing. On that drive, though, do you not say, hey, like, you know, we're going for one, but let's just be ready in a timeout. Let's be ready at this end of this game because what, yeah. You know.
And maybe that's something they learn from moving forward. And next time that is the case.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing. Obviously it resulted in a delay of game and they got pushed back 5 yards. Maybe Wake calls timeout there, you know, because they're scrambling. And then, again, you have more time to decide what you want to do and then execute the play. I'm fine with that explanation. I mean, obviously, it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
I buy that one more than I buy the other one about the 3rd and 23. I still don't.
The opposite.
Agree to disagree. I don't like that thinking. I don't like that philosophy on the long third down.
I'm the opposite way on this one. I feel like this is a game winning drive. The team needs to know. Hey, let's be ready at the end.
Coach changes his mind. I mean, the coach on the fly said, you know what? We're going for two, and they didn't get it done. So I don't know. I guess I don't know if forgivable is the right word. Like that to me, that's more forgivable than the 3rd and 23 that ended up in 7 instead of 3, and you know maybe 0 if he misses the field goal. But in any event, let's can we sneak in one more?
Sure. Well, you want me to introduce it?
You were there, so you know which explanation was worth playing.
The difference between coaching by the techniques and going for gut feeling as a coach.
I watch a lot of tape. Most coaches do. We've gone through a lot of experiences. We have a lot of things underneath our belt. And traditionally, I will go with the chart. But you've got to leave room for a gut feeling. You've got to leave room for this is different. This is a different type of game. You know, the chart may tell you to kick one, but you're playing Georgia and the number one ranked team in the country. You know, and they say kick one and go into overtime, and I'm like, I don't want to go into overtime with this team. You know, so sometimes you have to break the chart.
Yeah, and to your point, if he had the feeling after the touchdown, you're saying why didn't he have the feeling on that drive? You know, as the drive progressed, like, you know, they obviously had a timeout with 30 seconds to go. He could have said it then. Listen, I don't know how this is going to play out, but if we score, you know, I reserve the right to go for two, be ready for that. You know, and that's something maybe they learn from moving forward.
Right. And it is a young team.
Right. Interesting stuff. It is... And you're right. He gives in-depth answers, which
right.
You don't always get on these coaches' shows. So I guess you got to give him credit for that. Let's take a timeout. When we return, we're going to continue the SU football talk. Andrew Goodrich joins us on the other side. Back after this on ESPN Radio.
Watch your favorite ESPN Syracuse sports talk shows on QSportsTalk.com.
This is Orange Nation.
All right, Stephen Pauly back with you here on a Thursday edition of Orange Nation. We are now joined in studio by our good friend. He is a good friend. Like Dan from Wildcat Sports Pub.
Hey, here's the thing, guys. Good afternoon. I want to throw something at you. If you're watching on Q Sports Talk, you could have seen our past two guests live. And last break, do you know who Red Panda is? Dan, she's the halftime lady who rides a unicycle and puts bowls on her feet and throws them up and they land on her head. Have you seen her before?
He's
I know who Belle Biv DeVoe is.
He is as confused as I am.
Okay, so
I don't know Red Panda either.
If you're watching on Q Sports Talk, in one of the next couple breaks, I've got Jordan efforting video of Red Panda. So we'll play that on Q Sports Talk so you can see who Red Panda is and why I enjoy her. I think Mike Waters is a big Red Panda fan.
Okay.
Too,
so. Is she sweeping the nation?
Oh, yeah. If people she needs to be known like Sean Tucker does. She would win the Heisman of...
Halftime shows.
I just Googled Red Panda really quickly, and it comes up.
It's probably
a cross
something
between a raccoon and a fox.
Yeah, it's probably something weird on Urban Dictionary too. So you don't want to Google that. But
but she's okay. a heck of a halftime show.
Yes. Right. I'm telling you.
Why did we start with? Oh, because during the next commercial, we're going to play. Yeah, something. Yes. I was like, where were you going with this? Okay. Always great to see you, Dan. You came bearing gifts today.
I did. I brought some gifts.
We appreciate
for you guys.
That. You brought us both a sweatshirt. You brought some gift cards for our listeners. You brought a pizza with you.
I would like to bring, and shame on me, I forgot this, but I was going to bring a third hoodie that you guys could raffle off, or not raffle. You could do some trivia, and you could give that away as a prize. Free clothing. People want free clothing.
That's a great idea.
You know, next segment, we're giving away SU Clemson tickets.
Okay.
Right.
So why don't we make it a package where you get a Wildcat gift card and a hoodie. Is that all right?
Dude, I don't care. Whatever
I'll
you
get their
do,
name
man,
and
okay
I'll text it to you. How's right. that?
Let's okay. do it.
Someone wants you to make a Red Panda pizza.
What would you put
the
on that?
Q Sports Talk. I don't know. We'll think about it.
If we have her on the show, we can ask.
Pepperoni, everything red.
Maybe venison.
Oh. I like it.
The wheels are turning.
Let me ask you this.
So we see, like, I'm putting you on the spot here. At the state fair, various places come up with, these creative pizzas, let's mm-hmm. say. How often do you guys add something new to your menu?
That's a great question. And the only reason I say that's a great question is because we're in the process of that now.
Oh, is that
and
right?
We're going through and redesigning and redoing our menu, taking some things off. There's a couple things I want to add, but a lot of it comes down to being able to produce it, right? Being able to get it out quickly, that
sure.
sort of thing.
Sure.
Right now, I look at my menu as not stale. Some restaurants have stale menus, right? They've been around forever.
Yep.
I think our menu's still kind of fresh, and I want to keep it that way for a little while, but we might, we're thinking about adding like a sausage sandwich.
Yeah.
Nothing crazy, but like it's something that we don't offer now. We've tried pasta dishes in the past. Dude, we're not a pasta restaurant. You're not coming in here to get a bowl of spaghetti. So we've tried some things that worked. Other things like perfect example, like flavors of wings, right? We probably have 20 flavors of wings. You add, you take off. Like we added salt and pepper. Salt and pepper wings are wildly popular now. But 5-10 years ago, you never really saw salt and pepper wings. So those are things that we're constantly kind of toying with.
How about toppings on a pizza? Do you feel like you can put pretty much anything on a pizza?
Yeah, like I watch those shows on Food Network, and they're doing some crazy stuff out there.
Yeah.
Are you trying to...
I mean, obviously still it's cheese, garlic, sausage, yeah, pepperoni, right. mushrooms. Pineapple? Didn't we have this conversation?
Yes.
Pineapple on
well,
pizza?
Well, yes. I'm a fan of pineapple on pizza. We had on Bridge Street, we had an establishment on that had it like an apple pizza. Right. It was surprisingly good.
Yeah. There are some good concoctions out there right now. We don't really get into that stuff, but we have had people call up and say, hey, can you do half garlic and half roni?
Yeah.
That's a little different, right?
Yeah, sure.
It's kind of
sure.
like a
yeah.
blended
yeah.
pizza.
Okay. I'm going to derail this interview completely because while we're
I would expect nothing less.
I've texted the great Mike Waters from Syracuse.com beat writer and got a yes exclamation point to are you a fan of Red Panda? She's mesmerizing to see in person.
Mike Waters is a good dude. I like
yeah,
that. That's
yeah,
good.
So if Mike Waters, so that kind of verify that makes it legit. If I like something, it's probably weird and strange. But if Mike Waters says, yeah, I like it, that you can trust. It's a good halftime.
That is true. You can trust Mike Waters. And that reminds me of like something you'd read on like a playbill, like, you know, Mike Waters gives it two thumbs up.
Mesmerized. Mike Waters says Red Panda is mesmerized.
How did Red Panda come to the conversation? Because
we had Andrew on, and he's in charge of doing things like booking the halftime guests. And I said, you need to get Red Panda.
Well, we first brought up Belle Biv DeVoe, and then we brought up Red Panda.
He didn't know.
No, he knew. He knew who she was. Yeah, she's been at the Dome.
Well, if you can get Michael Bivins and his group down, I think that's all.
That's a bigger draw than Red Panda?
I would think.
Can you imagine if we had him and BBD singing the national anthem, and then she was the halftime show?
Oh!
Syracuse Duke, let's make it happen.
Wait, you don't need Duke for that game. You need
that's a draw unto itself.
Yeah, you can do that against Lafayette. That's a sellout right there.
Well, I don't know if we could turn it around by November 9th or whatever it is.
Friday night, big game, Dan.
Big game, Clemson.
Yeah,
Clemson, that's right.
You got anything going on for the Clemson game?
Well, I'm going to get there early. I'm going to nuts around with your laptop. I'm going to try to get the damn...
How'd that go, by the way? You can watch the fans react at the Wildcat as the game's going on.
You can also watch my business on Sunday and Monday because I forgot to turn it off. So I don't know if you guys turn it off.
It's not on yet. You don't have to worry about that.
I completely forgot about it. And Monday I went up there. I'm like, geez, it's still open. No, it was good. I think I got it going. You guys
I would have gotten a text if something was going wrong. So you did great.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I want the pat on the back, man.
Yeah, you're probably better than the kids I'm paying to do it, so. Congratulations.
I could use a job. You want to hire me to go around and do that? I'll do it.
So let's have a little fun here, Dan. You know, we got to do our pick, and I don't know that our pick will be this, but let's do something. What if we this week, instead of our pick, what if Syracuse wins? What if Syracuse beats Clemson?
What if?
Can we do something? Should we make that the deal, or should we, that's kind of ripping the people off.
You don't ever get them wrong, aren't you?
We're 5-1.
Five and one.
Okay, well, that's pretty good.
So just stick with that?
Well, I'll do whatever you want to do. Are you saying that if Syracuse wins...
How many gift cards we got there?
I think there's 10.
10?
1, 2.
How much are they?
$10 each.
$10 each? On top... All right, so how about this? If Clemson wins, we'll give the first 10 people in to go... pick up their free pie, they get a $10.
If Syracuse wins,
If Syracuse wins.
If Syracuse wins,
we'll give
on Friday
night, 10 people.
The first 10 people to come in on Monday night.
Yeah.
Between 4 and 7, dine in only.
They'll get the pie and the $10 gift card.
Okay, what if Clemson wins? I know we don't want to be Debbie Downers, but what if Clemson wins? What's the plan?
So we'll just do the regular pick.
We'll do the regular pick, and then we'll give away those gift cards on the show.
You're a double winner this week.
I'm the double winner.
No,
I'm the double loser.
You're the double loser. But our pick will be Clemson to cover.
That's what our pick is. Yeah.
What's the line?
14.
14 and a half. I think it's slightly above 14.
And you're locking it right now. 14 and a half.
Yeah. Let me make sure.
Come on in, Jordan. If you just say it out loud. What's the spread? 13.5.
13.5. Even more reason. Yeah. That means Vegas wants you to pick. Vegas wants you to pick Clemson.
Clemson. Yes.
Yeah, they do. Which means that Syracuse should win.
Cover. Or at least
if Vegas
cover.
Is saying pick Clemson, then.
So we'll take Clemson at 13.5, and then if Syracuse wins,
what did I just commit to?
Okay,
I'm
confused as well.
Yeah,
so.
Right. You committed to if Syracuse beats the vaunted Clemson Tigers.
I will give away 10 free cheese pizzas. Is that what you said?
No, you'll give away the gift cards, and then we'll do the regular.
In addition to the deal, 4-7.
So if somebody comes in and gets the pizza, I get
Listen,
the gift card. But I brought these gift cards
losing,
for you guys.
I was going to say, you're losing these either way.
Lost those.
Right.
They're in your hands, so they're gone.
Right.
So
you keep them and bring them back next week if Clemson wins.
How about I one-up you?
All right.
Since I've got hundreds and hundreds of these blank gift cards.
Okay.
How about I leave these 10 here for you guys
to give away
for trivia questions?
Perfect. Right.
And everybody, then if Syracuse wins, I'll... reproduce the gift card.
Nice.
Of those hundreds that I have.
Look at me.
And then
Dan, you're a great guy. I completely threw this at you last minute, just giving away the store.
We are live, right? We're like, say no.
Giving away the store.
Paulie, that is a horrible idea. We'll find out during the break if he's really on board with this or if he's just saying it because we're on air.
That's right. If I don't come back next week, you know, I wasn't
we'll
on
know
board.
Why.
How's that?
We'll know why.
That's it.
So, all right. So we got to take a break here. But when we come back, we're giving away tickets, right? So what's the prize pack going to be? Tickets with a sweatshirt
and one of those
and a gift card.
Dan is going to have to
Reproduce.
Yes.
That's right.
Okay.
And I got to get another hoodie.
Are we?
The size would help too.
Yeah. Well, that's the size.
If you got someone that wins, it's small.
I'll text you the info.
So we've got we've got a large and an extra large here. So if somebody wins and wants that size, we're good. If not,
I'll give you the next one.
All right. That's perfect.
Are you mad at me, Dan?
We'll still talk. I like you.
Are you still good friends?
Let's see if the webcam works this week.
Yeah, right. How are we doing this? How are we doing the trivia? You have a question?
No,
in mind?
But I'll come up. You'll come up with something.
So, line them up 315-437-7644.
And it's going to be tough. It's going to be. We're going to play. They're great trivia. It's Tony the Tiger, and the Tigers are coming to town.
They're great.
Yeah, we're sweeping the nation.
Sweeping the nation.
With their great trivia.
All right. Tickets to the Clemson game, Wildcat Pub gift card,
and a hoodie.
315-437.
Dig hoodie.
7644.
It's that time.
We're playing trivia on the other side. Dan, thanks for coming in.
All right, guys.
Thanks for being a good sport.
We
appreciate it. We're back after this on ESPN Radio.
I literally gave away his restaurant.
ESPN 97.7 and 100.1. Watch live on QSportsTalk.com.
Live from Armory Square, this is Orange Nation.
Stephen Pauly back with you here on a Thursday edition of Orange Nation as we welcome in our producer, Jordan, who's furiously going through his wallet.
Yeah, he's got a bet slip. You know,
I don't think you need the State Fair ticket anymore, Jordan. State Fair's over.
His wallet is gigantic. We were like, all three of us have big wallets. His is not money, though.
He's got a bunch of betting slips in there.
What's the betting slip for?
Ooh, what is? Oh, this was our Ryder Cup bet. You can throw that out. So, we didn't win.
So I have my. Oh, I forget. I have my bet slip for Padres winning the World Series at my fridge. Still, I'm wondering if every year now I just do it and I see if I can wallpaper my fridge and losing bet slips or betting on the
Padres. How much did you bet? Just out of
20
curiosity.
Bucks.
20 bucks. Okay.
For 300.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. You won on that big Phil Mickelson bet. Do they let you, like, once you cash it in, can they, like, because I would assume you would want to keep that if they could give it to you. Do you still have it?
It's taped to our wall.
So they give it back to you then?
Yeah.
And then they just put, like, paid
it? They scanned it?
Scanned it, and then they know that they've paid it out.
Yeah, it's not.
I didn't realize
it's not 1920, Steve. I can't go up and reuse it. They run it through a computer.
I understand. I didn't know if they would actually give it back to you once you cashed it in.
Yeah, it's right there hanging on the wall.
You should frame that.
Yeah, it's been taped to the wall by Jordan.
Okay.
I'll frame it.
All right.
I should get an autograph from Mickelson
Phil.
Thing.
You're right.
Yes. Off of our sponsor there.
Brandon Steiner.
Brandon Steiner's website.
Yes.
And then frame it with the picture.
It's a great idea.
Let it be known, I did.
When's your birthday? When's your 50th birthday?
June 15th.
June 15th. Can you mark that down, Jordan? Is your responsibility to remember this? His 50th birthday is June 15th. I think that sounds like a great idea.
So I won't do it then. You guys will do it for me. Nice.
If you can wait till June.
I'm a double winner. All right. Prop bets for Syracuse Clemson. That's what we're doing. Hop on props. Is that what you ought to call it?
I'd like to call it that, yes.
All right. I like it. That's a stupid name. I like stupid names, so let's do it.
Sweeping the nation.
Last week, I asked you guys who Syracuse football's leading rusher would be. You both went with Sean Tucker. You were both wrong. So I'm going to give you guys another chance to correct yourself after Garrett Schrader ran for 178 yards.
It's not going to happen again, dude.
And I'm going to shift the odds, too, to make you want to take Garrett Schrader because I want you guys to win. Who will lead the Orange in rushing tomorrow against Clemson? Will it be Sean Tucker, who he's going to be favorite money? I'm going to make him -120. So you've got to bet 12 to win 10. Or will it be Garrett Schrader and you can just bet 10 to win 10? I'm trying to help you here.
I'm not as convinced as you are. You think there's no way?
No way. There's no way they're going to put Schrader in a position to run the ball against Clemson's defense.
Do you guys know how many carries Sean Tucker and Garrett Schrader combined for against Wake Forest?
Well, Garrett ran the ball 32 times.
Yeah, I was going to say probably we're talking 50 plus. What was it?
We had 55, but I believe the stats I was looking at didn't even take Garrett Schrader's sacks into account. So we're over 50.
Yeah.
55 right. is what I had.
Yeah. I do. My personal feeling on this game is that A, SU is going to get behind, and B, running on the Clemson defense is going to be different than running on Wake or Florida State. I think SU is going to have to throw the football to some degree in this game to have a chance, which is going to lead to sacks, which is going to lead to negative yardage. I said this last week, but I'm going to double down on that going into this week. I think it's got to be Sean Tucker.
Yeah, I agree, and I'm going to bet the 12 to win 10, whatever the hell you said.
So you don't think there's a chance the Orange passing a lot at the end of the game
there's
and Garrett Schrader's taking off? And
there's a chance. Okay. There's a chance that they're so focused on Sean Tucker. Dabo had a great bite on him yesterday. I'll try to get that to you guys for tomorrow. Maybe we can play it. But it went on and on about how he's fast is what he called him.
He is.
And then he went on to say, he goes, sometimes I think that they just send all their receivers deep so that Garrett Schrader can run, which he might not be wrong.
And they're not going to. They're probably going to tell him to throttle it back this game, right? You could get injured in this game badly.
Here's the thing, though. That is their best offense right now. And if they have a chance, like if they're trying to win the game, which I'm sure they're trying to win the game.
You play to win the game.
They're not going
to
tell him not to run.
Coach Babers also said last night on his show that it wasn't a majority of those plays were not called as runs.
He turned them into runs?
Yes.
Yeah. And yeah. Garrett was actually asked post game what he looks to do. And he says, as the quarterback, his goal is always to throw. It just hasn't been panning out so far. I don't know. So that's a good transition, though, because Garrett Schrader has thrown for 160 yards or less against every team this year but Albany. Will Garrett Schrader go over or under 175 passing yards against Clemson, keeping in mind Syracuse will likely need to pass the ball?
I'm going to say over.
Over 175 you're going?
They're going to come out chucking. That's my guess.
Now remember, not to be mean, he's got to complete them for them to count as passing yards.
How dare you?
Ah, that is a good line, Jordan.
Would that be his highest output, and it would be against Clemson? It's not a smart bet, but I'm taking the over.
I will go under.
That's what's tough about those, because you throw more in games you're losing, but you have better stats in games that you're winning. We'll move over from Schrader. We'll go to the defense. We'll go to DJ Uiagalelei. I want to know, will he have more touchdowns thrown or interceptions tomorrow night against Syracuse? He's got three of each this season, and he's thrown an interception in three of their games so far.
I think the smart money here is on touchdown passes, especially given what Wake, for instance, was able to do last week. I mean, Wake had success through the air. Clemson certainly has the athletes to do that. So, yeah, I think the smart money is on the touchdown passes.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that, and if it's not, you could see a win in Syracuse's favor. Although, Syracuse did all the intangibles right against Wake Forest and still lost. Like, when you say things like that, they won those against Wake and still lost.
I mean, you run the ball with the success that they had. I mean, Tucker and Schrader
were of possession, right? Rushing. Did they win the turnover battle? Or was it even? It's like...
Well... Yeah. Yeah, Lutz had the fumble.
Fumble, yeah.
So I don't think they won the turnover battle.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, I mean, I was going to say you rushed for over 300 yards. Those two guys rushed for over 300 yards. They put up over 500 yards of offense. They won the yardage battle. They won the first down battle. They won the time of possession. You're right. They did all the right things.
That's why the losses stink so much. They should be wins, obviously.
I'm going to throw another thing out there that's hurting Syracuse and needs to get remedied quickly is punting matters. Syracuse needs to be able to flip the field. We joke that Syracuse has been punter you for years, and it has been, and Syracuse has not flipped the field in their favor off of the foot of their punter this year.
That is true.
Thank you.
Speaking of special teams woes, I want to know, will Andre Schmidt leave over under 2.5 points on the board against Clemson? So missed field goal, that's three. Missed extra point, that's one. Will Otto Andre leave more than 2.5 points on the board tomorrow night?
No, he'll make his kicks this game. I'm going over.
Under. You're going under points under, left off the board.
You just got to make everything so weird.
They each had a turnover. I was just looking at the turnover battle because I was curious off the top of my head. They tied the turnover battle. So in any event, it's kicking. Yeah. So I looked this up the other day about Andre Schmidt. So his redshirt freshman year, he was perfect on extra points. The year after, he missed one. The year after that, he missed one. This year, he's missed one. if history holds, he's making all the PATs the rest of the way.
But if he misses a field goal, then he's already over.
I understand. I think he's going to bounce back too. I think he's going to have a clean game. They need him to. They need him to. He's too good of a kicker to be in a slump.
Now, this last one, this is what we call a real prop bet. Nothing to do with the players, nothing to do with the score, but I want to know, will the Orange Faithful storm the field if Syracuse beats Clemson?
Yes. I was going to say, that is a no-doubter.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think they should with this being such a down year for Clemson?
You know, everybody says such a down year.
Well, comparatively, it is.
I know it is. It is. But they lost to the number one team in the country on a pick six, and then they lost to maybe the next best team in the ACC in overtime.
Yeah, and then when... You remember when Syracuse beat them? Did anybody, you think the other schools were saying, hey, let's not charge the field if we beat them because they lost to Syracuse? No, it's Clemson.
It's Clemson.
Be safe. Don't do it.
They will, though.
Yeah.
And especially the student section's turning out in full force. They're going to, and nobody got to go to games last year. Like, the students didn't even get to go to games. Yes.
Get out of here with that.
They're itching to storm the field if they win. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Well, I'll be heading out, but before I leave, I'll let you know that this Daily Cause for Celebration is brought to you by Bugs Be Gone. If you need help removing pesky pests from your home or radio studio, you can visit bugsbegone.biz. That's Bugs Be Gone with two E's, just like the bug, and just like I do to Steve and Pauly every day on Orange Nation, as long as it involves a little bit of gambling.
I would charge the field if you left my life forever. I'd be the one guy, like, why is Pauly on the 50? Yeah, Jordan's gone. Jordan moved.
Cause for celebration. That's so mean, though.
Syracuse lost to Clemson by 50, and Pauly's on the field. What's happening?
See, this goes back to the conversation we were having during the break on Q Sports Talk. About how you've been described.
Yes, my boss described me as a likable A-word. Does that make me not likable when I say things like that?
Yes.
Jordan knows I'm kidding.
Does he?
Am I really going to run out on the field and celebrate?
No, but I don't know. He might take it personally.
If Jordan moved, it would be his decision, and I would celebrate it. I'm not forcing him out. Like, I'm not firing him.
You're not doing anything to change that reputation.
No, I'm just telling you that. I would have a going away party for Jordan if he left.
I'm a nice guy.
Oh, yeah.
Use the fire pit?
Yes. I would throw his memory. I'd burn all his pictures like an ex-girlfriend.
Call all your good friends
over?
Yes.
I would have his going away party, but not invite him.
Yeah, you're not helping the reputation. We're back after this on ESPN Radio.